Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
Having casual sex in New York City just got easier. In the famous words of a wise philosopher, one must respect the artistry. And what Beyoncé was doing was art. It's not any of those. The worst thing I can hear in the dining room, you say to me, is these four words. Turn on Fox News. Now I went from fun trolling to why I'm running through the reasons in my head why I hate the world so much. I talk about weed a lot. I'm an abrasive douchebag who sometimes finds himself at odds with people in power.
Dropping plates on your ass, biatch!
Don't you dare be sour!
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom!
Hence my self-loathing. It's called spade a spade. Kid's my age, and he's hanging out he's the type of guy to hang out at an eighth grade prom after party. You know? Trolling for snatch. Okay? And everyone just rolled their eyes, listened to this, like, what an obnoxious asshole this guy is. Yeah, I am an obnoxious asshole. I didn't grow up in Staten Island, okay? I didn't grow up in a place where people drive their parents' cars and, you know, they have their older brothers come down to fight for them and their older cousins. I'm not from there. That's not where I'm from.
If my ass occupies the space that I'm sitting in, my feet also occupy that space. I am a human being, and matter means that only one thing can occupy one space. No two things can occupy one space at the same time. I was in that space at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, whenever they let us in. I was in that space immediately when they let us in. You weren't. Therefore, I was occupying that space. Okay, can everyone just chill out? Everyone just take a chill pill? Instead of tweeting things like, Harriet Tubman should be on the EBT card? Now, I'll admit, that's fucking hilarious, but at the same time, that's fucking racist.
Hey, yo, what is the word, people? Welcome back into another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I am Jay Porks. With me, as always, on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. On the other side of the glass every week, making sure there's a well-oiled podcast machine. I have to repeat it. It's so good. Every week, the ever so popular Nobody. And I am going to switch my phone onto silent now. So the one time a week I go to record my podcast, I don't have to be interrupted. What in the heckity heck goes on, folks? Got some stuff on my end. Not going to stretch this out. I actually have a couple of things I want to discuss. First, we are going to pat ourselves on the back. And by ourselves, I mean me. Because last week I said I was going to do something. I said I was going to make an attempt. I was going to make an attempt to have a podcast that was timely. And when you listen to it on Wednesday, it would still be... It would still have to do with things that are going on, even though I recorded it Sunday morning. And you know what I did? I picked some World Series picks. And you know what? I sit here Sunday morning, and I I sit here Sunday morning and I realize that I got them right. Cubs, Indians. And it wasn't really that hard to do, so not bragging that hard. But Cubs and Indians in the World Series, which means Andrew Miller for the Indians, Haroldis Chapman for the Cubs. The New York Yankees will have an impact on the 2016 World Series, because what kind of a World Series would it be if the New York Yankees weren't involved? You know, I was unsure this weekend when I should record my podcast, and then I saw that the Jets kick off at 1 o'clock, and I said, you know what, I better find something to do rather than watch that crap. But the reason why I bring up the World Series is because the Indians have a rich history, don't they? They've got a rich history of players. Now, I wonder who was some of the greats that they're bringing back. Because, you know, during the World Series, you have not celebrities, but you have former Indian greats, former players of said team that made the World Series. You have them come and you have them throw out the first pitch from halfway towards the pitcher's mound, and they lob it in, and they try, and then they walk off with their walkers. But, I mean, how great are the Indians? Like, how many past all-time greats do they have? I mean, seriously. Because I could name one all-time great Indian that every single American has heard of. That's Rick Wild Thing Vaughn. First of all, for those unfamiliar, I need to take your movie card away right now, because if you've never seen Major League, then you shouldn't be seeing any films. Because Major League is an American classic. It stars Charlie Sheen as Rick Wild Thing Vaughn. The guy from the Allstate commercials as Pedro Serrano. Now, these guys become a ragtag bunch of baseball players. They play for the Indians, and they make it to the playoffs after a long winning streak at the end of the season. The owner of the team wants to move the team, so therefore she signs a bunch of really bad players to try to make them finish last so the attendance could go down so she can move the team to Miami. But the Indians catch wind of this, and in spite of them having no talent, apparently, they make it all the way to the playoffs, beating the Yankees in a one-game playoff. But you'd think that because, you know, of the success of that movie, that's the last time the Indians were ever successful. You would think that it would be a shoo-in that Charlie Sheen's throwing out the first pitch to one of these games, right? Wrong. To quote everyone's favorite presidential candidate, wrong. MLB crushes Charlie Sheen's dream to throw out the first pitch at the World Series. There will be no Wild Thing before the World Series. This is FoxSports.com. Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn won't be throwing out the first pitch before a World Series game for the Cleveland Indians. There has been a movement on social media for Charlie Sheen, who starred as the enigmatic reliever in the Major League films that features fictitious versions of the Indians, to do the honors before one of the games before this year's Fall Classic. And Sheen was willing, posting a picture. Major League continues to be the gift that keeps on giving. If called upon, I'd be honored. However, a Major League Baseball source told the Associated Press that choices who will throw out the first pitch have already been made, and Sheen is not among them. A league spokesman said MLB has worked with the Indians to identify former franchise greats to handle the duties, and the search apparently excludes actors. Well, that is indeed a shame. He would have the taped up glasses, the hair with the design in the back thing, the little spikes. It would be really cool, man. It would be really rad. But unfortunately, baseball doesn't care about entertaining us. This was the NBA. The stars from Space Jam would be throwing out the ceremonial opening tip. Uh, We had two big stories coming from the land of the internet. First of all, for $85 billion, AT&T is going to buy Time Warner. And that means that AT&T customers will see improved entertainment offerings on mobile. The carrier plan says it plans to explore new forms of original content built for mobile, spawned from Time Warner's HBO Now and the upcoming launch of AT&T DirecTV Now. Last year, AT&T spent nearly $50 billion to snap up satellite television provider DirecTV, and it's set to offer an over-the-top video service, which should allow subscribers to stream programming online without a satellite dish. Buying Time Warner will give AT&T an even wider range of content, from HBO's high-grade television to sports through MLB and NBA games on TBS and TNT, plus the chance to compete against cable companies by offering more shows on its own U-verse pay-per-view pay TV service. This is on Forbes.com. Let me just pause for 1 second. MLB games on TBS, that's only the Braves. That's the Braves and possibly part of the World Series. It's not like the TBS has a baseball package. They have the Braves. So let's just stop right there. Second of all, AT&T is a service provider. AT&T offers up broadband service for you. It offers up phone service for you. Now they're going to own like HBO and everything Time Warner owns. Now, I don't know how good this is. You know what? I wasn't sure if it was good or bad. I was trying to figure out, how does this affect me? I have Time Warner cable. Is this maybe going to speed up my internet connection? I didn't even need to look anything up because I read a quote that Donald Trump that thinks this is terrible. So you know what? That's the litmus test. If Donald Trump hates it, then I'm on board with it. Because I like things like immigrants and women. Things that Donald Trump hates, I like. So if he doesn't like this deal, the more the merrier. Let's have more mergers. Merge. No, but seriously, if somebody who has a brain can reach out to me and tell me why I should care about this, let me know. Also, WikiLeaks shut down the internet the other day. Because they can, apparently. You see, WikiLeaks It's a bunch of people. What do you call that? A group. A network. There you go. It's a network of hackers, is what it is, who hack things. And, like, WikiLeaks doesn't actually do the hacking. WikiLeaks just publishes the hacked information, allegedly. But they work with all hackers across the world. And most hackers just hack things to prove that they can do it. Why would you shut down my internet? I was off on Friday. I didn't need that garbage. Was it Friday or Thursday? It might have been Thursday. It was a day where I was off half the day. Because I still had it going from 2:30 to 5:30. I can't get to any websites. Twitter's down. I can't tweet. What's up with that? And then WikiLeaks tweets out a tweet that says, Julian Assange is alive. Please stop shutting down the US's internet. Wait a second. So you guys are openly aware that hackers are just messing with us for fun? And you guys are like, all right, guys, chill. You've made your point. This is very dangerous. This is extremely dangerous. This whole idea of hacked information, I understand that it's wrong to keep the general public in the dark about certain things, but you know what? That's the way the world works. And unless you're going to change every single thing tomorrow, I don't need to read anyone's hacked emails. I don't need to read Hillary's. I don't need to read that chick from Saturday Night Live. I don't need anyone's emails. Because I wouldn't want you to read my emails. I don't even know what's in my emails. It's probably nothing incriminating, but I don't need a bunch of people reading it. Meanwhile, my biggest hero of the WikiLeaks last 10 years of hacking things, the biggest hero that I've come across is John Podesta. This guy's a fucking boss. Why are we reading? I'm reading a bunch of things that, like, show strategic campaign planning. As if being president was something you decide to do on a whim. When you campaign to be president, you want to win. So yeah, you plan out intricately every single thing you say. It's called a campaign. Gosh, so WikiLeaks shut down the internet. Because they can, apparently. They didn't shut down YouTube. They just shut down, like, Twitter, Netflix, a host of other sites. But I was able to go on YouTube, where most of the illegal stuff is happening anyway. But forget about the election, because we got another Donald to talk about here. As I sip my coffee. You guys been watching Atlanta? Atlanta's a new series on FX starring Donald Glover. Donald Glover is Childish Gambino. He's an actor who was on the show Community. And I'm wearing my Troy and Abed in the Morning shirt. Troy and Abed in the Morning. So, Childish Gambino is a stand-up comic slash actor slash rapper slash writer. He was a writer on 30 Rock. He was one of the stars on Community. He's put out hip-hop records. He's toured successfully, both stand-up and music-wise. Now, and he's also written his own show, written and starred in his own show, Atlanta. Now, Donald Glover is joining the Star Wars universe, this as per CNN.com. The acclaimed actor and Grammy-nominated artist has been cast as young Lando Calrissian in the still-untitled Han Solo standalone film, set for release in 2018. The movie, from directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, will show Lando, quote, in his formative years as a scoundrel on the rise in the galaxy's underworld. Lando was played by Billy Dee Williams in The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Billy Dee Williams, the guy who is cooler than the other side of the pillow. Hello, Peter. Glover joins Aiden Ehrenreich, who was cast as Han Solo in July. "We're so lucky to have an artist as talented as Donald to join us," said Lord and Miller in a statement. Sounds like a fucking... I'm trying not to curse. Sounds like a department store, like Lord and Taylor. Lord and Miller said in a statement. "These are big shoes to fill, and with an even bigger cape. And it's one that fits him perfectly, which will save us money on alterations. Also, we'd like to publicly apologize to Donald for ruining Comic-Con for him forever." True. I guess he can't go to Comic-Con anymore and nerd out because now he's part of the fray. Glover was formerly a cast member on MTV's beloved cult comedy Community. He now stars in FX's Atlanta, which he also created, and will appear in Spider-Man Homecoming. Star Wars The Force Awakens opened in December and broke records at the box office. To date, it has earned $2 billion worldwide according to Box Office Mojo. Rogue One, a Star Wars story, opens in December. So there's that. Donald Glover is going to be in Star Wars. Now, I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but, you know, if Childish Gambino's going to be in it, maybe I'm interested. Things change. How cool is that? A couple of years ago, they were trying to get Donald Glover to be Black Spider-Man. And then people flipped out, like, "I can have a Black Spider-Man. What do you always have to reboot things into an urban nature? It's Luke Cage all over again." So I'm happy about that. My boy, Childish Gambino, who got his name from a Wu-Tang name generator, is going to be a humongous star playing young Lando Calrissian. So things are going pretty well for Donald Glover. Things are going pretty, pretty, pretty well for Mr. Donald Glover. Just had a kid. He's Lando Calrissian. Atlanta got re-upped for another season, 4 episodes into their debut. I mean, I don't know who's having a better day, him or me. I mean, I got my laundry done, went to the buffet. Pretty good day for me. I mean, I'm not casting the new Star Wars flick. Well, is it a Star Wars flick or is it a Han Solo flick? Whatever the case may be. During the break, I'm going to spin some Childish Gambino songs. And then we're going to come talk about music when we come. Back after this.
Hey, everybody. It's Andy from The Andy Dare Show. Just thanking you so much for checking out the Jay Porks podcast. If you want to find out more about Jay and what he's up to, You can follow him on Twitter at jporks, on Instagram at jporks, and on Facebook at jporks. There's a running theme here. It's jporks all day for 2016. And for his official website, full of podcasts and complete show notes, check out jporks.com. If you want to check out more about Dare Network, just find us at iTunes. Search Andy Dare Show and we'll come right up. The Dare Network is now home to the jporks podcast, The Andy Dare Show, Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, and also Jesse Unplugged. We want to thank everybody who subscribes and tells a friend. Thank you so much for listening, and now back to the jporks podcast.
And we are back. Hashtag justice for Kirby. Hashtag sticks out for Kirby. If you know what I'm talking about, you're A, more of my friend than you were 5 minutes ago, and B, way more of a loser than you were 5 minutes ago. All right, sticks out for Kirby. Hashtag sticks out for Kirby. Okay, music. That's what normally this podcast consists of, especially in the second half when all the music headlines are powered by AntiQuiet, and you recall that AntiQuiet.com will always be your source, but bump, for quality. Okay. Eminem. New Eminem song. Remember? I feel like I say, remember when I said this a lot? But I do. I think it was like a year ago, possibly, the last time Eminem had some new music. New music out, as I have the hiccups, excuse me. Last time Eminem had some new music out, I commented on it by saying, you know what, Eminem is like, he's sober, and he sits at home, and he does too much production, and the beat sounds like it's from Mars, and there's too much noises and crazy machinery going on, and maybe he just needs to, like, you know, keep it simple a little bit. Keep it to the words, which is what he's best at. Somehow, Eminem was listening to me. His new song, the seven minute long campaign speech, barely has a beat at all. It's just almost an instrumental. It's beautiful. Because Eminem takes an instrumental, he takes his words, and for 7 minutes, he uses his best instrument, which is his lyrics, to get his point across. 3 years have almost passed since Eminem dropped his last full-length album, Marshall Mathers LP 2. Besides hopping on numerous remixes, giving guest verses, and giving us phenomenal last year, rap fans have been dying for any information related to whatever Shady has cooking. Then he dropped a tweet and a new song. To accompany the official album announcement, but dropped campaign speech, a 7 minute and 47 minutes of political American awareness as the nation tuned into the latest and last United States presidential debate. Minimalistic production that sonically transforms allows Sir Bruce Matthews to do exactly what's made him one of the greatest MCs the culture has ever produced. In response to today's pleasant surprise, Hip-Hop DX editor-in-chief Trent Clark and a bunch of other people gave their opinion on the record. Trent Clark said, I'm not reading the whole thing, name an Eminem album that rollout that wasn't spearheaded by a goofy-ass single. I'll go ahead and help you. It was Recovery. So enduring the bulk of campaign speeches, nonsensical anecdotes didn't wow me or move me in the slightest. I mean, the last freestyle I remember of his, he threw Caitlyn Jenner's name into the pot. So any type of limits you may have thought the second twilight of his career possessed were completely thrown out the window. As I pause this for 1 second. As my cat walks into my room, I had to reclose my door. Alright, so that's what Trent Clark has to think about. All these guys work for Hip Hop DX. Euro Garrett says, Eminem is a goat without a doubt. There aren't too many who can reach into the carnal nature of true MCing yet makes music that's embraced by mainstream pop taste. Campaign speech is purely about rhyming to the 10th degree. In an era where everyone has to have a big single, M desires to do exactly what he does best, rap his ass off while reminding everyone he could still be the most feared lyricist in hip-hop. Dana Scott says, when a prominent aging artist come back with new music, I look for two things, how they shape up against their current market of talent, and convincing their return to the game is, and how convincing the return to the game is. Hip-hop ages in dog years, so it's suitable for M to say you gotta twist it all because I offered this bitch a doggy biscuit in this track. But to rap for almost eight straight minutes, with no chorus and a minimalist beat, seems more like a spoken word from a rapping robot to make Pura swoon over the endless bars. Later in the track, we also hear the scarce drum programming come in that sounds like he's selling some trap sensibilities that are in vogue. But he immediately shuts down that door to revert back to sounding like he's figuratively taking a knife to the table and stabbing it in between his fingers, spread wide, with that type of cadence, so that tends to be monotonous. Not everyone is a fan of this, but I am. Like I said, listen, I don't want to. I respect Eminem's musical ability. I really do, and I appreciate the fact that he tries to produce records and make beats. I really do, but he's really, really good when he is rapping his tookus off, as he does in campaign speech, and he is doing that. So there's that. Joe Budden's got a new record out. Rage and the Machine. That's the name of Joe Budden's new record. And let's see, I got an interview here from BET as Chahar Lee runs around my room. Charlie, what's up, buddy? Where you going? You want to leave? Okay, you can leave. You don't like Joe Budden? What, did he block you on Twitter like he did to Chach? True story, that one time I was going to go see Joe Budden live with my friend Chach. It was raining, so I said that I tweeted out that I was not hyped to go see the Joe Budden show. And Joe Budden tweeted back at me. Oh my god. Hold on one second. Excuse me. The title, Rage in the Machine. My lord. Folks, I'm sorry. I open up a website because I don't want to. Because when I come off the top of the dome, I feel like sometimes I'm going to forget something I want to say. And I don't ever want to do that. So I open up a website and I think it's going to be safe. And I think it's all good. And then it just plays a random song. Drives me nuts. Anyway, me and my buddy Chach were going to see Joe Budden in Irving Plaza. It was raining, so I tweeted out that I was so unhyped to see Joe Budden tonight, and the night I was going to see him. Joe Budden tweeted back at me, why? 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 Don't ask me questions. And then he blocked my friend Chach, who didn't say anything to him. So now my buddy Chach, who's the one who put me on to this record yesterday, he texted me, did he hear Joe Budden new record? I'm like, no, how is it? Oh, it's crazy. He's blocked. He can't see Joe Budden's tweets because Joe Budden blocked him because I was snarky to him on Twitter. Who replies to random fans on Twitter? Anyway. And this article breathes the same as the Eminem campaign speech review. In an era when artists are expected to microwave their crafts, Joe Budden and producer A-Rab Music let their joint project Rage and the Machine slow cook, holding up in the rapper's New Jersey home for months. Their non-stop creative process was punctuated by the 36-year-old MC schooling the 27-year-old producer on the musical stylings of New Edition and Roberta Flack. And though the album is named after a 90s rock band, the result of their intensive collaboration is unequivocal hip-hop, riddled with meticulously crafted bars and backdrops. For Budden, the motivation was simple, to create the kind of music that he craved. hip-hop seems to be the target demographic of maybe 17 to 23. And so sometimes as a 35, 36-year-old man, you are in search of the hip-hop that suits you. I know that's always been my struggle, and every time I end up asking myself that question, I'm reminded that I'm an MC, and I can make it for myself, for the people that feel that way. So that's what I did. Rage in the Machine, which, by the way, isn't named for a 90s rock band. They're not raging against the machine. It's Rage and the Machine. It's a different thing. Raging against the machine is like if you're a shirt that doesn't want to be washed and you break the washing machine. That's raging against the machine. Rage and the Machine is if you take a washing machine and then you take a cat named Rage and you put it next to it. You know what I'm saying? It's two different things. There's no Oxford comma. There's nothing going on there. Rage and the Machine marks the first project in which Button has worked with a sole producer in Arab Music's process, contributing to the album's nostalgic makeup. Taking on the machine role for the project with his skills on the MPC and Arab Music sounds, were joined by Button's lyrical aggression, accounting for the rage portion of the album's title. The project also marks another first for Joe Button, his first go-around as an independent artist. "As far as business, I'm celebrating my independence," he said. "I feel like I've worked my entire career to be in this predicament, in this spot that I'm really in. I'm really excited about it. It gives me more things to learn today, and I'm so excited about that." Along with his firsts, the 11-track opus also finds Button sticking to the script. Donning the hat of a hip-hop elder statesman, he embraces the position on a track titled Uncle Joe. "As Uncle Joe, I wear that age, it's a three-piece suit." Flex rounds up Tory Lanez and Fabulous for a track for the ladies. Joel Ortiz assists for a classic tag team with Sirius. Stacey Barth helps with a soulful introspective on I Wanna Know. But even without collaborators, Button more than occupies each track, opening the album on a high note with Three, giving a nod to Jay-Z on I Gotta Ask, catering to the streets on Wrong One, and paying homage on Idols. After 13 years of the game, nerves don't overcome Button with new releases anymore. Instead, he remains one step ahead of the criticism. I think a lot of times the fans don't understand that there's no one as tough as artists on themselves. So by the time the art is ready to be released, anything you could possibly say, my spin wheel of a brain has already probably assessed that and analyzed that in a million different ways. And there is a video clip here, which I can attempt to put on the notes, where Joe Budden and Arab Music are discussing Rage and the Machine. Quick question, if Donald Trump wins the election, does Arab Music get to stay in the country? That's a fair question. Okay. So you got new music from, you got a new Eminem song. He's got a new record coming out. Got Rage in the Machine, a Budden Arab Music record that just dropped. It's pretty good from what I've heard. Also, Dean, remember last week, I was talking about the Dean Ween Group. They got a new record. Well, the Diener album, you can listen to it on Rolling Stone. It's streaming. Not only is it streaming, but there's track-by-track annotations from Dean Ween discussing what's going on this record, on each song, which is just absolutely phenomenal. The record features 14 new songs, some of which will be familiar to fans who have seen the Dean Ween Group live in recent years. In addition to guitar, Dean Ween handles lead vocals on some tunes and welcomes guests including Ween Live members Dave Derowitz, Claude Coleman, and Glenn McKeldend, Parliament Funk guitarist Michael Hampton, Moist Boys frontman Guy Heller, and Meat Puppets singer-guitarist Kurt Kirkwood. And this record started during Ween's hiatus in 2012. Quote, I knew what I wanted to accomplish in the event I ever made a Dean Ween record. It's very simple. I wanted to focus on my guitar playing. Live, there's a lot more guitar playing in Ween, but Ween is very much about the songs. And whether I played guitar solo or not, I never cared about that stuff. It's what's best to serve the song or record. So for this, I really wanted to live my dream out of being a guitar player. He continues, now that I have a record done, and I'm well into my second one, the focus is becoming finer. I'm finding a way to walk the line where it's not just all guitar players at my shows, you know, a bunch of dudes in Fender and Gibson jackets. I want it to be fun and a show. I've got it down right now. At first, I was doing a lot of the Ween tunes. Now I'll throw in some Ween tunes if I feel like it. But I don't have to. You know what I mean? Dean Ween will hit the road this week for a two-week U.S. tour in support of the Dean Around with the Meat Puppets opening. Listen to the full record below and read Dean Ween's in-depth track-by-track commentary. I'm just going to read one because I want you guys to go to this. You know what? I'll read the single. The first single that came out that was released on Spotify, now the entire Diener album is on Spotify, but the other day, the only single that was on Spotify was Exercise Man. That's the first video. So, saying about Exercise Man, Dean Ween says, when my son was little, 2 or 3 years old, we were driving in the car and I would sing funny things. I would make them up and we'd sing in the car. And Exercise Man was always a funny thing. I was always like, Mike, look at this guy. It would be snowing outside and some guy was riding his bike with spandex suit on and a helmet with shades on and a little heart timer on his earbuds in. What, is he crazy? He was holding up traffic everywhere, jogging and riding his bike. Gotta get my 20 miles in today. So that started as improvised, made up lyrics for a song for my son. We'd see a guy, he'd spot him before me and say, go, 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 Exercise Man. I always wanted to play with Kurt Kirkwood. And I felt like Exercise Man needed a slide guitar, a Les Paul kind of sound, and he's the master of that. So it was perfect timing. It was like when Ween used to use David Sanborn on Your Party. You know what it really needs? It needs David Sanborn, nobody else. That was the same situation with that song. Kurt was on my list of people. Before I die, I want to have a band with this guy. I wouldn't be surprised if Kurt and I ended up doing a project or something, especially after this tour coming up. Hold on a second. Okay, my mind just got blown. I didn't read this. I know. It would be good journalism, and it would be good podcasting. I would be a better broadcast journalist if I were to do something as smart and as simple as reading the articles that I'm going to read before I get on the air. That would be smart of me to do, but I didn't do that, okay? I didn't do that. The idea was, I know I retweeted it, and I'm saying to myself on the way home, like, okay, so... the Rolling Stone article, I'll read one of the excerpts, I'll figure out which song I want to talk about, and that'll be it. I had no idea that I was going to read that much Kurt Kirkwood shit in there. Had I known that, I would have not talked about the tour last week, I would have talked about it this week. But if you're in Middle America right now, for instance, the 25th, they're going to be at Del Mar Hall in St. Louis. You got to go check out this Dean Ween Group Meat Puppets tour. It's going crazy. And Dean Ween says before he dies, him and Kurt Kirkwood are going to have a project. Wow. Eyes adrift, anyone? Then we got ears eloped. When I saw the Meat Puppets in New Hope, Pennsylvania, man, and Dean Ween was there, man, it was so cool. Because he was just hanging out, like he was walking around the room like a fan. But, like, there was an extra guitar backstage. And, like, just the thought of the possibility of Dean Ween and Kurt Kirkwood playing guitar on the same stage kind of made me moist. It might have made me moist. Like the Moist Boys. Like another Dean Ween side project. So there's that. I knew Kurt Kirkwood was in the video. I didn't know that he played slide guitar on the record. Yes, I know. I work for that band. I should know these things. But I don't. All right. Go, go, Exercise Man, go. See? Now, it's that little tidbit. Like, you didn't know that that's what the song was about. I mean, like, it's just so simple. He's in the car with his kid making fun of, like, the people jogging. I do that all the time. What are these people jogging for? I guess it's because I walk a lot. I mean, I walk far to bus stops. So, like, I'm always exercising, not on purpose. So I don't need to wake up early on my day off, you know, to get my 20 miles in. I don't need to do that. That's ridiculous. I got weights in my house. I'll do some lifting. Ooh. Shoutouts to Lavinia, who just texted me. If she makes it this far in the podcast, that would be interesting. All right. I'm out of here. It's still my day off, and I'm going to enjoy it, gosh darn it. I'm not going to let the darn Jets spoil it. But before I get up on out of here and go listen to the Diener album. I'm going to give you a list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you'll get all your live music, news, and reviews for the fans by the fans. Also, AndyDerr.com. That's where you get all your Derr Network podcasting needs. Whether that's the Tyler, whether that, no. Whether that's Jesse Unplugged, Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, the flagship show, The Andy Derr Show, or the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Porks podcast, all of that is happening at AndyDerr.com, which is located in Cubstown, just in the outskirts of Chicago. I actually don't know how close it is to Chicago. I know it's in Illinois. ChristinaRocks.com, Hang the DJ, 89xradio.com every Sunday morning, Throwback Alternative every Sunday, 89xradio.com, or you can go to her blog, ChristinaRocks.com, tweet at her, at ChristinaRocks. Both of those Christinas don't contain an H, and you can tell her that she is the coolest cucumber in the salad. And that's from me. That's from Jay to the Porks. Don't take credit for my lines. I'll be very upset. And before I do that, you can get at me on Twitter, at JPorks, and tell me what I should be for Halloween. I would love if you guys told me what I should be for Halloween. It would be fantastic. I'm thinking about Slash. But I don't know. Do I want to carry around and get a Les Paul all night? Do I have leather pants? It's the question. Also, go to AntiQuiet.com. AntiQuiet.com is your source for quality. Till next week, folks. Well, do I still need to give you guys election percentages? Hillary Clinton's got an 80% chance of becoming president. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. The only Donald I want to talk about on this podcast for the rest of my life is Donald Glover. Until next week, folks. Wacky Weed warns Yvonne. Late.
This has been the Jay Porks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.